Welcome to Generation Radio Podcast, where the focus is on Arkapuna and their families. We are here each Sunday morning from 8 to 9 a.m. on the Oldies Channel, 101.1. You can listen to these shows at any time, any place, and even on your smartphone at generations808.com. We will bring to you resourceful information from our generation's team of experts in the field of aging. Stay with us for the next 1 hour as we explore ways to make your life more exciting and meaningful for our extraordinary seniors. Here's your host and publisher of Generations Magazine, Percy Ihara.
Welcome to Generations Radio. I'm Percy Ihara, your host. Thank you for tuning in again, and hope you're having a great Sunday so far. It's we take these Mondays or Fridays or Wednesdays or Fridays, guys, so don't call the studio. I won't be here Sunday morning. But thanks for tuning in, and also, like I said, thanks for telling your friends, your neighbors, and also going to our website, generations808.com. And you can listen to that on your smartphone, by the way, if you need to kill some time. But as you know, we provide resources, information, and, you know, of course, the Maui fires are on everybody's mind. And when you drill down to some of the issues besides finding a contractor out of Lahaina side, getting your goods and materials to build is going to be an issue. But before they can even do that, they need to have money to build. And insurance is a big issue. And with the wildfires in California, all the destruction and hurricanes in the southeast, is causing these insurance companies to really bend a little bit. But anyway, I ran into a longtime old friend of mine, actually, recently. And I was talking about insurance, and he was talking about the Maui wildfires and some of the issues. So, Destin, Denise, welcome to the show from Nexus Hawaii.
Yeah, thank you very much, Percy. I'm glad to be here, and it's a exciting. I haven't been in a studio for many, many years, so hopefully I can do okay today.
Dustin is he's an insurance professional. And I mean, when I say professional, he knows almost everything, maybe everything about insurance. But so I picked his brain about, you know, some of these issues with the wildfires, and we were talking about, you know, replacement costs. And so for a homeowner, Dustin, let's say you're Maui, or let's say your house burned down here, you have to your roof blew off. What's the role of the insurance company dealing with the homeowner, and what's that process like?
So the process for once you were to identify that there's a claim to be had, you would contact your insurance provider. The insurance provider then would have to assess the damages, so they'd send an underwriter or an adjuster to look at the property
so they have to physically go to the site.
Yes. A lot of times they'll physically go to the site. they'll send someone down. So they'll hire a third party to go down and actually check the site. They're not typically doing it themselves.
The insurance agent won't do that.
Yeah, the insurance agent. Your insurance agent won't be down there, going through the debris and all of that other stuff. So at that point, they'll assess the damage. Then they'll review your coverage. And then usually a check will be cut for whatever type of valuation they believe to necessary for replacement of whatever was damaged at that point. So
the Maui fires caused what, 3,000? How many homes? 3,000, 4,000 homes?
Yeah, it's like excess of, I think it was somewhere between $3 to $5 billion of damages, they're saying right now, which is a significant amount of damage.
Just one area of the
state. For one area out there, exactly.
I mean, Kauai, the Hurricane Iki and Eva did cause that much damage. It was a bigger portion of the island, but
yeah, that was like the whole island, right?
Majority, so they're gonna send adjuster to go sit and walk the site of three to five.
So that's actually what where a lot of the delays are coming from now on Maui is that those whole areas were kind of like cordoned off or blocked off,
right,
for adjusters to come in. So insurance companies actually sent down people to actually look at and inspect the area. So inspectors to come down and take a look
before
at it.
Before the homeowner went?
For the damages from the fires.
I mean, before the homeowner went?
Before
the homeowner went to see the site?
Yes. Yeah.
Really? Oh, that's smart, actually.
Yeah. So they actually flew all these people in, and actually it was really interesting because there's a whole article about it. I think it was in Civil Beat talking about how the insurance carriers were trying to be preemptive. They flew all of these people in, and they weren't getting access to the areas to be able to do the inspections necessary, so that they can pay the policyholders out. These people are also certified for like hazardous areas.
Mm-hmm.
So they have like, you know, they can go in there with the body suits and everything. They did the same process in California as well, and they were allowed onto the sites. Mm. Here on Oahu, they were unable to. They even asked for things like, can we send a drone up to actually inspect areas? They were denied that. So there was a lot of stall, I think, on the claims being paid. So, you know, hopefully now things are moving along a little bit quicker. But sometimes that's just the way how red tape can kind of make it a little bit more difficult. So the people who are actually damaged or hurt on that side of it are the homeowners, the people who are, you know, trying to get back to life. And that's seriously unfortunate because they're in a place of limbo, having to live out of suitcases, or I mean, not even a suitcase, because a lot of them didn't even have a chance to pack anything up.
They couldn't get a suitcase.
Yeah, I mean, so it's like, you know, things that were donated or what things that they're buying over at Walmart or Target or what have you. And it's sad because they need the money, right, to be able to get their basic living necessities taken care of. So
yeah, something like 1,000 cars were burned.
Yeah.
I saw a picture of that, and wow.
I mean, one of the things that we're looking at, and there's a lot of talks about right now, is that how exactly is this going to affect rates moving forward, you know? Insurance rates, exactly. So this was a lot of damage that was incurred in an unexpected way, you know, in a very short amount of time. So especially for our local carriers as well, you know, like Island, First Insurance, those types of things who... I think Dietrich as well, who have a lot of policyholders, you know, on these on those islands or in Hawaii anyways.
So here with Dustin Denise from Nexus Hawaii, I forgot to ask you, can you kind of give us a little background, our listeners, get a background on your company and what you do, your experience, and wow, how are you so knowledgeable? I mean, I know you're you're the former president of National Association of Insurance and Financial Advisors Association, but yeah, give us a little background.
Well, I'm originally from the Big Island. So,
what part of Big Island?
I'm from the Kona and the Hilo side. So I know people are like, what? How does that work? So
how does that work?
I'm from the big side. So no, just joking. But, I was born and raised in Kona until about 12 years old. And then I moved to the Hilo side when I was about 12, 13. So, my parents were divorced. They both love the Big Island, but just not each other anymore. So they took separate sides of the island.
Happens.
So, but I was fortunate enough. I was enrolled in Waikia, but I homeschooled through high school. So we had our church had a pretty big homeschooling operation at the time. So we did a lot of that. So
homeschool. Did you get to go to a prom or play sports or anything like that?
No, we didn't have any of those luxuries. I was playing soccer like through elementary and intermediate club soccer, and then afterwards when I moved to Hilo, then I didn't. But through we did like this thing with the prom, I guess, where we did like a dinner, and like there was like my graduating class was 7 of us, I believe it was. So then we all kind of paired up and we all just went to a dinner, and then it was fun.
7, how do you pair up?
Yeah, I mean, one of us wasn't paired up. So yeah, that was kind of sad.
Other than you.
That was not me, no.
I got a
pair. Yeah.
So how did you get into the insurance? But how long have you been doing it, and what is Nexus Hawaii?
So yeah, I've been doing insurance now for 17, 18 years now. I started off in the kind of employee benefits space, working with companies to help build out employee benefits, provide different ancillary programs to protect employees, their paychecks, the things that they work for, you know, so hard for. And then as the years went on, I started understanding that, you know, looking at different health insurance, life insurance needs. And then about, what is it now? Like 8 years ago, I had an opportunity to become partners in a PEO, so in a professional employment organization, where we managed that for a long time, and we ended up selling that company off. And then I started a HRO, so we do human resources, payroll, all lines of insurance, so everything from property and casualty, to you know, life and health, that kind of stuff.
And even our magazine insurance.
Yeah, exactly. I do your guys' magazine insurance.
You got us covered here, Justin. And I'm not one to, you know, just because I'm a client of yours, that's why you're here. No. Guys, you know, when I ask questions about insurance, I need to get answers. Yeah. If my clients ask me questions, if I don't know the answer, I got to get the answer. Mm-hmm. We always want to always double verify information. And you know, that's why Generations Magazine is, we pride ourselves on our resources and our information. That's why we love so much. So with the wildfires, did you have clients over there?
No, we didn't have. Fortunately, we didn't have a lot of clients there. Not any that were damaged anyways. So not there on the Lahaina Strip. So
when you say, with the wildfire, like anything like in Florida and California, with those wildfires, when you say it'll affect insurance rates moving forward, how do they calculate that? I mean, we don't know how much they're going to raise them, obviously, right now, but yeah. Are there companies actually not going to renew policies, or companies are not going to insure parts of Maui anymore?
Yeah, so Hawaii has kind of always been looked at as, you know, it's been sort of like a stable place where you can kind of, you know, you got hurricane and then floods, and then outside of that, there's not a lot of, you know, fires or, you know, things that will, you know, there's you can count on it, right? So in California situation, particularly, a lot of insurance carriers have looked at the wildfires and the consistency of wildfires as well as something that they don't want to be in that marketplace anymore. Mm. So they look at more favorable markets. And a lot of times the companies that pull out of the markets are probably those that are a little bit more conservative. So it makes them a little bit, you know, less expensive for policyholders as well. We haven't heard anything or haven't really seen anything in regards to carriers looking at pulling out right now. This is, you know, one wildfire. We just, you know, hope that these kind of incidences don't occur again, right? And hopefully the necessary safety measures are being put into place by government, by, you know, certain entities to be able to protect people from things like this moving forward. So long story short is, you know, depending on what the government and what, you know, companies like HECO and stuff does, right, to look at preventing things like this in the future, will also to reflect on insurance premiums, right? Because the insurance carrier would look at that and say, oh, it's safer here or it's not as safe here because of certain things that are in place to be able to make sure that this type of incident doesn't happen. Mm-hmm. So, but also too, I mean, insurance companies have taken a big loss on this type of stuff. So, you know, needing to take a look at maybe, you know, if they've depleted a lot of their surplus, right? Because insurance carriers need to have a certain amount of money on hand to be able to mm-hmm. operate and offer policies. If they've started to deplete that surplus, then, you know, logically thinking about it, they might have to increase rates to end up building a surplus back up or building their premiums, you know, the money back up again as well too. So,
well, I've heard terms like reinsurance.
Yes.
And in major companies, worldwide companies that are actually buying policies and I think, correct me if I'm wrong, you're the professional. So does that protect the insurance company that in those kind of situations?
Yeah, it does. So in situations of reinsurance, they're basically just, you know, kicking that liability further down the, like to another party. So they're almost in the sense like acting as a brokerage in a sense mm-hmm. where they're, you know, we pay this XYZ insurance company a premium to insure us for just say $1 million. And, you know, say they charge us, we pay them $1 for this, you know, coverage or $1,000 for this coverage. And then they can go out and they can sell this same coverage for, you know, they can buy it from someone from another reinsurance company for say $800. Right. So now they've made $200 on the interim of it. So, yeah, they're able to pass on that liability.
Well, I know you weren't probably old enough or around for Iniki and Eva.
Yeah.
That was a long time ago. I think it was 82 and 92. Have all those insurance got, have they come back already onto Kauai? Because I know some of them had stopped, you know?
I'm not familiar with that. No, I'm not. I don't know.
Yeah, you were too young back then anyway.
I was around. I was alive. But I was a little Dustin at that time.
So, because it was from the from the fires. It wasn't from like tidal waves or hurricanes. It's just structural. Are there any policies, or does that policy cover it all, like natural causes? Because, you know, wind, I was in Maui, the week before the fire came out, the following week. And I'll tell you, I played softball and golf state tournament the week before, and it was windy. I mean, it was 40 plus.
Yeah.
So I can't imagine those winds, 80 to 100?
Yeah. Yeah, it was whipping out there.
So are there any kind of policy? Does a policy cover something like that?
The winds you're talking about?
The
fire?
I don't know if it's natural cause, but it's not natural. Something ignited the fire, but the winds definitely helped.
Yeah. So as far as so hurricane coverage would cover high winds when it reaches hurricane level winds.
And that is what, 135?
Yeah, I think it was something 130 something. I don't remember the exact.
So that's only when the hurricane insurance kicks in.
That's when the hurricane
Everything
insurance
below that in. Is regular wind insurance.
Yeah, would be homeowners. Regular homeowners insurance, correct?
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So that's kind of why you want, if the wind. So in this particular case, actually in Maui, even though it had the high winds, and I guess it wasn't hurricane level, but what happened was that I don't know, there's kind of debate on it, whether it's the power lines or what have you, but your homeowner's insurance does cover fire. So, regardless of the cause, whether it's from a heavy wind or if it's, someone was, down the street, there was a car crash or something and, fire got off and it spread to your home, your homeowner's insurance will cover for fire as well. So the thing that I think worries me and a lot of, I think, people is that the underinsurance, the not having enough coverage to rebuild your property after an incident like this. So as you probably know, and as most people out there who have maybe seen, after the pandemic, how everything has increased, right, in the grocery stores, from milk to eggs to whatever we gas, all of that other stuff. That's also a hit. Building materials as well, and that's also hit labor as well. So the cost to rebuild a home or to rebuild, your property has gone up significantly. So I believe the previous rate that we used to look at, an average home to rebuild, and it's not like super fancy or anything, but an average is right around, it was about $270 per square foot.
How long ago was that?
Huh? $270.
How long ago was that?
I mean, that's what we were quoting about a year or so ago.
Really?
Yeah. So right now, the replacement cost that's been suggested is about $380 per square foot. So imagining if, you have your homeowner's coverage and you estimated the replacement cost at somewhere around $270, and now it's the replacement cost is actually $380, that's $110 difference. So, along those lines, on an average 1,800 square foot home, that's an extra $200,000 just to replace your home to what it was before, right? To rebuild it. So, as someone living in Maui and, or someone living anywhere, actually.
By the way, that's a 29% increase.
Yeah.
That is divided 270 by 380.
Yeah.
Wow.
It's a lot, right? It's a lot.
Well, let's say a 1,000 square foot house.
Yeah.
So it would cost $270,000 to rebuild a 1,000 square foot house at $270 square foot. So now instead of $270,000, it costs $380,000
to
replace that 1,000 square foot house.
Exactly. And I mean, already there's a high cost of living in Hawaii, especially in Maui, right? I mean, I go to Maui and I was like, man, I was there a few months, about a month before the fire, and I went to the grocery store to go look at suntan lotion, and I wasn't gonna bring it here. I wasn't gonna buy it from here because it's like, oh, I'm not gonna pack it. And normally, I get it from Walmart or whatever it is for, $5-6. I went over there; it was like $18 for a can of sunscreen. So it costs a lot more up there. But regardless of that. Hawaii is an expensive place to live, and people don't have an extra $200,000 lying around for an unexpected incident like this, right? So having to get back in, trying to just get back into your home and rebuild it, even though you get this insurance money, yeah, you still have to pay an extra $200,000 or, you know, just whatever increase that looks like for you, depending on the square footage. It can be devastating. It can be tragic, you know. So
I want to get back to that, but so I was in Sonoma, Napa, after the fires there. Was that 3 or 4 years ago? How many years ago? Years ago.
I think it was about 4 years.
And a friend of mine's was right around the corner of Silverado Resort, and the house next to them burned down. Their house was okay, but when I went to their another relative's house in Sonoma, up on top of the hill, my friend's family had a house on top of Sonoma Hill on the right side. It took us 45 minutes to drive up there. And part of their side of their barn burned down. And when we're going up, you could see tinges of trees burned. But in that one, I think PG&E, didn't they file bankruptcy?
Yeah. So the Procter & Gamble, right? You're talking about
Electric company.
Yeah, electric company, yeah. Yeah, so the electric company did. They filed bankruptcy on that particular case. And that's one thing looking at HECO, right? I mean, if found liable for this, the death toll is significantly lower with PG&E situation than it is here. And that caused them to go bankrupt. You know, I forget how many billions they had to pay out.
Yeah.
It was like, I want to say like 30-something billion dollars they had to pay. And then, you know, with this particular case here, I mean, how much hundreds of billions of dollars would they potentially be liable for? They have to pay out, you know, so.
That's if they find them responsible.
If they find them responsible, exactly. And then, you know, I mean, talking about under insurance, you know, the HECO, they've been identified as also being underinsured for.
Yeah, you mentioned to me last time I talked to you. Yeah. What was that? I saw, it was hard to believe their coverage, their insurance that they have. Do you remember what we talked about? Figures?
Yeah. So it was, I think they were insured for like $178 million or $179 million of coverage, which, you know, when you think about it, when you hear that number, you're like, oh, $179 million, that's a big number. You know, that's a lot of money. But looking at it, they're saying that it's a fraction of what would be necessary to replace $5 billion of damage or $3 billion of damage. At the same time, still even replace their own infrastructure that was damaged as well too. So, you know, there's a bunch of articles out there as well too talking about how they were they're severely undercovered on that side, and I don't know how they made that mistake.
But even if it was their fault, they're liable. So, but Homeward got insurance. So wouldn't that insurance cover the cost of repairs and rebuilding? Well, how would HECO be involved with that?
Cover that? So a lot of times, I mean, the insurance company, right, would then go back and then they would look at who was liable for that coverage. Okay. And the insurance companies would then go after the party liable.
Got it.
So it makes, it's like your car insurance, right, where you get into an accident and then you can take your car down the very next day to go start getting it repaired. The insurance company will forward that or take care of that cost for you in the beginning. They'll battle it out with the other insurance company, whoever maybe sideswiped you. And then if you're found liable, then you have to pay your deductible and there's damages or your deductible that you need to pay. If the other party is found liable, then they recoup the losses from the other insurance company and then you don't have to pay your deductible on that side of it because it's the other party's fault. But then they try to make it as seamless as possible for you so you're not having to go back and forth with, you know, emails and, you know, legal matters and all of that other stuff. So that's part of what insurance does for you as well, is it helps to kind of ease the process so that you can hopefully get back into your, you know, previous state of living as quickly as possible.
Mm. We're here with Dustin Denise from Nexus Hawaii. Really good information, Dustin. And for our listeners out there, you know, we're doing these Realities of Aging workshops 3 Wednesdays a month now at Big City Diner, Waipio, Kaimuki, Windward Mall. And then next year we'll be doing it at Pearl Ridge, Big City Diner at the mall there. But So I always tell all our listeners and people that attend our workshops, we're providing this information to you, better you in your life, to give you really good information. And also, if you have questions, call Dustin, call your insurance carrier. Take good notes, guys, because we're going to give a lot more information after this short break. So we'll be right back.
Call Financial Benefits Insurance's local Hawaii agents for your Medicare needs. Navigating Medicare is a difficult task.
There are a lot of variables. You can't make a decision without knowing your medical and financial needs. Plus, working with a local Hawaii representative, you'll know what Hawaii programs are available for you.
It's free to talk with us and use a local Hawaii agent. Financial Benefits Insurance. Medicare is our business. Service sets us apart.
Percy Ihara. Many of you know him as the publisher of Generations Magazine and one of Hawaii's biggest senior advocates. For those of you that don't know, he's been in the mortgage business since 1988 and at the age of 42 got into the reverse mortgage business. He learned early on as a reverse mortgage professional that he needed to understand his clients' needs as they aged. He is now 63 years of age, and if you're like him, he is planning his own life down the road when he will retire and how will his quality of life be. He is planning his finances, and as a professional that is also aging, he is planning for his own long-term care needs and to age in place. As a trained certified senior advisor and as a specialist in long-term care planning, he specializes in assisting seniors and their families to age in place for the rest of their lives. If you would like to begin the conversation, give him a call and let's sit down and start planning. He's Percy Ihara. Call him at 808-234-3117, NMLS 582-944.
Okay, welcome back to Generations Radio. Don't forget the Realities of Aging workshops that I will be putting on with a few other experts here at Big City Diner. So check out the website, generations808.com. Otherwise, this month's issue is the September-October issue with the four lovely ladies from the Beta Beta Gamma BBG sorority from University of Hawaii. They're looking good. And thanks for all the kudos. Thanks for the invite to your party. I just couldn't make it that day. And also thanks to Cindy for dropping off some, energy bars that she made to thank me anyway. But don't forget, October 20th is our Kahala Mall, 10 to 2 p.m. Senior fair at the Kahala Mall. It's a Friday, guys. We'll have probably 35 different vendors and resources over there from the city to state as well, agencies. I will be there for a little while. And also in November, it's a really nice fair, the Mayor's Craft Fair, and that will be on, I believe it's November 18th. It's a Saturday. Yes, Dustin, we'll take a picture later on so we show that you're on radio. Dustin here is getting ready to take a picture. But don't forget, yeah, I'm trying to look at it in a magazine. It's in a magazine. It's always in a magazine. But I believe it's November 18th. It's a Saturday. Really good day to go cruise over there and check it out because that's where I'll buy my silk lays if you have to give lays out. But also they have goodies, snacks, and this is where all the senior clubs come to sell their wares. And if you like pottery, homemade pottery, excellent and very reasonable. I believe there's two or three senior clubs that actually has kilns on their property there. So check that out. But again, thanks to the Beta Beta Gamma ladies for being our cover story. And just to let you know, in November, December, you've probably seen this commercial for State of Hawaii Insurance Program, the Medicare program resource with the UH coaches, Vince Scu and Coach Dave Shoji. And there was, unfortunately, Jim Leahy passed away. He was the third one. But they will be on our cover in our November, December issue. So check that one out. And like I said, in there, we'll have all the listings of our Generations Realities of Aging workshop. Don't forget, there are three Wednesdays a month. You can give me a call if you can't find it, or you can call or text or email me at 808-234-3117. And we do give a free meal, by the way. It's breakfast at Waipio and Kaneohe. And we give a snack, which actually was very good. Thank you to Lane at Big City Diner. He had salmon and salad and fresh fruit. It was like a meal, like a dinner. Like, thank you, Lane. Anyway, we're here with Dustin Denise, an insurance professional that, you know, you have all the answers, I'll tell you. But so back to the home replacement costs. You said you were quoting before $270 a square foot now, and then maybe $380?
Yeah, about $380 now, yeah.
But I think it's going to be more in Lahaina because just to ship goods over there, I mean, our shipping costs for our magazine went up.
Yeah.
The cost of materials have gone up. Find how many 3,000 homes to rebuild.
Yeah.
I mean,
cost of labor is going to go up definitely because.
But I mean, having how many, you got to find a contractor.
You
got to
find a contract. Exactly. That's what I'm saying.
I mean,
right?
Yeah. It's way over there. I'm not to say Wailuku or Kihei is any better, but that's going to be a task. Yeah. So I was asking you during the break, I think the cost is going to go up,
yeah.
Especially going forward, because everybody, especially the contractors, they're working on the rail, they're working on these new condos on Kakako.
Yeah.
They're busy. In fact, you know, you try to get a quote to do add an addition, they don't want us to get the whole house. They don't want small jobs anymore.
Exactly. Yeah.
You know, that's why I like handyman. But my question to you is, I think it's about $400 a square foot.
Yeah.
Personally. Mm-hmm. So and if you say you're quoting $380, can I say, Dustin, can I get a replacement cost of $400?
Yeah. Yeah, we can definitely do that. So, I mean, it's like you can definitely do that. That's something where working with, you know, your insurance professional, looking at, you know, you feel like your replacement cost might be higher. Maybe you have some, you know, Egyptian tile in there or something. Or even if you don't, just understanding the current marketplace, right, of or landscape of what it's going to take to replace that with contractors, then I think 400 is a safe number to be at, you know.
Well, the reason why I tell everybody, put a jacuzzi on when you renovate.
Put a jacuzzi on when you renovate, yeah.
So back to my question. So let's just say you have a standard three-bedroom, two-bath house, okay? And I'm underinsured, and my replacement cost now. So let's say it's I'm gonna do my calculator here, 1,400 square feet.
Okay.
I'm doing it right now manually. 1,400 square feet. This says times 200 square feet, $70 square feet. That's $378,000 to replace the 1,400 square foot at 270.
Okay.
And today it's gonna cost me $380. So you're looking at a big shortage there.
Yeah.
So I say, Dustin, that's not going to cover it to me to build a 1,000-square-foot house.
Yeah.
Are you going to help me out, Dustin? What is the insurance carrier going to say?
Oh, so if you didn't get that coverage prior to us?
Yeah. I only got a 270. So at 270, it's 378.
Yeah.
You know? But you say 380, 378, that's $532.
Yeah.
So minus what did it say? 382. We're a shortage of over $150,000.
Yeah.
So what happens?
So they would just cut, if you didn't increase your coverage limit, then what they would do is just pay you out a check for whatever it is that your coverage limit was at. So that, I believe it was 370 something you said it was.
Yeah.
Really? Yeah.
So they're stuck?
Yeah, so you're stuck at that point. I mean, you have a, you know, now you have 370,000 minus your deductible as well too. So you have to factor into your deductible, and that's what you have in the bank. You can deposit, you know, as a check and try to replace what you have with that. But maybe you build a smaller home. I don't know.
Really?
A tiny home.
I don't know. That's bottom line, huh?
Yeah. That's just tiny home living. So,
So let's say, so you can use it to build. So let's say you cut a check for $270,000.
Yeah.
So I can build what I want to build?
Yeah. You can build whatever you want to build. I mean, the thing is too, is that like, what I'm really sad about is if locals end up just getting that payout and then deciding, hey, I don't want to, you know, go through the hassle of rebuilding, having to go through permits, all of this stuff. It's going to take me a year to put up another house again.
Oh, yeah.
Why don't I just take this money and I go move to the mainland with it? Or I go move, you know, somewhere else for it. And then now I just sell the property off. And, you know, now you're selling off land here.
So I don't have to rebuild. I just take the money and run. Sell the land?
Yeah, you can sell the land if you want to. You can do whatever you want.
Okay, that might be an option, guys, but not move to the mainland.
Yeah.
I mean, unless you really want to, or your kids are there, or you have health issues, but I run into so many people thinking about that as you get older.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm leaving my kid, da da da. But I don't know about you guys, travel, spend a few weeks there, different times of the year. Yeah. Like, you know, I have people going to Vegas, but man, Vegas in the summer, what was 110 degrees this year? I was in Boston recently, but I heard it didn't even snow in Boston last year because of climate change.
Oh, yeah.
But you go to places, you know, other places, it's raining all the time. Yeah. Our weather is getting bad, guys. So that's a good part. So let's say I do overinsure, let's say 400, it only cost me 380.
Yeah.
I still get the check for 400 square foot.
Yeah. So what you would get, whatever the they deemed the replacement cost was going to be at, right? So if it's $400,000, they look at it. Yeah, I mean, what did you say? It's like $400 times
a square foot.
The per square foot. Yeah, so then that's what you would get back, correct? Yeah.
Oh, so they don't say, oh, person, it's only going to cost $350 a square foot. They wouldn't give me the $400?
No, you still get the $400 if it's a full replacement of your property.
Yeah, total.
It's kind of like if you totaled out your car, right?
Right.
So
on the topic, now to think about that, you know, they always see these commercials. You got to watch out for the underinsured drivers, right?
Yeah, uninsured.
Uninsured drivers.
Uninsured drivers.
So with that, is that something that would you, I mean, I hate to change the subject, but I'm that way. You toss me a topic or you make a comment.
Yeah, I'm ADD like that too. So
I like,
don't worry.
Wow. Like so what shiny. Would happen? is that really important to have though? Change the subject.
So when you're in car insurance and having uninsured motorist coverage,
yeah,
I believe so. I mean, there, you know, I mean, unfortunately, there are people here that, you know, are not insured that drive around and take risks like that. And unfortunately, if you know something happens and they do hit you, then or you know there's an accident of some sort. They don't have the coverage necessary, and maybe they don't have the means to be able to pay out as well, too. So now you're kind of stuck having to
kind of. So doesn't your insurance company cover that?
Your insurance company would cover it to a certain degree, but it's, how would that be? So you end up having to, there's going to be a lot more out of pocket that you would have to pay, though, on that side of it, if you don't have.
But doesn't all policy have uninsured a certain amount, like 3,000, 5,000, something like that?
Yeah, they do.
Hate to change the subject.
Yeah, No. Yeah, that's fine.
Just testing you, Dad.
Yeah.
See, he knows this guy. Yeah. So we had mentioned, last time I talked, you had mentioned about for people that are renting, let's say they're in Lahaina, and didn't have any kind of rental insurance at all, huh?
Oh, yeah, rental insurance. Yeah, that's another one I would say it's an important insurance coverage to have, and I think a lot of people don't necessarily think about it. But it's really, I mean, it's funny enough, it's very inexpensive as well, too. You can get it for just a couple of $100 a year.
Depending on. So that's covered, let's say you have a house or live in a condo, that covers the interior of just your personal goods,
Your personal.
Not the walls or anything, but correct. Just your own personal items, TV, jewelry, whatever you got in it, right? Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, I mean, like in those particular situations, you know, people are, you've gathered a bunch of stuff. You have, you know, your not just your television, but computer systems, maybe specialty tools that you have or jewelry.
Clothes.
You know, clothes are expensive.
Yeah,
you know,
do a whole. Can you imagine losing everything in your house?
Yeah.
So I mean, I'm not sure what the average personal item amount of 10,000, 50,000, I don't know, but can you imagine losing everything?
Yeah. I mean, it's a lot. I mean, I remember I had I was flying neighbor islands, and Hawaiian Airlines had misplaced or lost my luggage, and I had a couple of those, you know, Big Island Sig Zane shirts inside of there.
Isn't that a Sig Zane right there?
Yeah, it's a Sig Zane.
I love Sig Zane.
You
gotta dry clean it.
Yeah, you gotta dry clean it. If not, the ink kind of smears a little bit.
But it's
sometimes.
So unique. It's so designed. Yeah. It's so unique, and I get compliments all the time.
Yeah, I love the feel of the material. And I'm from Big Island too, so you know, like supporting, you know.
So that's one thing I really encourage. Even if you have a rental and you're having a tenant, you should. I don't know if you can.
Encourage
can you require them.
Them
or encourage them to buy rental insurance?
Yeah, I mean, if you put it in the lease agreement, you can require it as well too for the renter. But, you know, I don't necessarily think you need to require it, but you can. definitely make it as something that you recommend for them to have. So,
and for people, if you own a condo or a townhouse, you are required to get your personal insurance. What is that, HO6 or something they call that?
Yeah,
for your interior, because you have to cover the walls,
yeah,
the kitchen, if it burns down.
Correct.
All that, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, so... I mean, and interesting enough too, like renter's insurance covers for things like even one of my friends, they had a one of our friends' clients, they had their computer in their car, and they got their car broken into, and the renter's insurance actually covers the loss of their laptop because the laptop was in the car, and they also have it in the home, but it covered the replacement value of their MacBook. So that's a
old MacBooks are expensive.
Yeah, they're
and really then great.
Pretty great. I mean, paid for their whole insurance coverage for a couple of years.
Okay, I want to flip it again. Life insurance. You do life insurance as well. Mm-hmm. But yeah, so tell me, that for people that don't know, there are insurance brokerages and what, captive agents, where they only sell their specific product?
Correct, yes.
What's the difference?
So typically a captive agent or, kind of a unit line insurance agent where they would work for particularly just one insurance company. With an insurance brokerage or a broker, we work with multiple carriers or multiple insurance companies to kind of do the due diligence, and we shop out rates for our customers. I think it can be highly advantageous when you're working with a broker, just because first off, you're leveraging your time. So you're not having to go out and try to contact a bunch of different carriers and, you know, calling everyone up mm-hmm. and trying to, you know, get information to them to get you a quote. But at the same time, too, you're, as an insurance broker, we understand kind of what information will make you look more favorable or what information the carriers want to be able to, and what appetites certain carriers have as well.
What do you mean by that? They only want certain kind of...
So, you know,
clients, borrowers.
Some just like as a on the insurance side, the life insurance side, right? You have certain carriers who are a little bit more lenient with smokers or tobacco users, and some that are not as lenient or very strict with not having tobacco users, right? Or in homeowner side, right? It's some are a little bit more lenient when it comes to being closer to the water, and some are very risk adverse to having property that's close to the water. So, you know, your average consumer wouldn't know those types of things. So working with a broker, we can go out, we shop it, we identify which rates are best for you, which policies might be best for you. And then we can come back and show you, you know, your most affordable options. And I think part of the misconception that a lot of people think is that, oh, if I'm working with a broker, then they're taking a fee of some sort. Regardless if you're working with a broker or not, the broker fees are, we're paid by the insurance carriers. So your premium wouldn't go up with whether you went directly through the insurance carrier yourself or you went with a broker.
Yeah, a lot of people think that. So my question to you then, if we went directly to an insurance company versus going through a broker like yourself, who services me?
As an insurance agent, you would have an additional resource. So you would have an extra, you'd have an agent like myself or one of our agents at Nexus to be able to service you, as well as say you had it with Island Insurance or State Farm or, you know, like a, what not say, but a, you know, Allstate or what have you, Island Insurance, you would also have access to them as well too. So you would have, you know, us and them to be able to work with. So,
you know, I counsel a lot of mostly all seniors and sometimes the family that you're under 60. But as I counsel with them, we look at the whole holistic part of their life. Not only I review policies as well, of making sure they have enough coverage for the replacement costs, and let them know that, let's say the cost is $380 and they're only at $270. I do encourage them to contact their insurance agent, not to change companies, but make sure that replacement costs are there, because I've seen that many times where it's too short. I also make sure that they understand that, you know, my day job is a reverse mortgage, but I don't sell anything. I'm not insurance licensed. I don't do anything. I'm not an attorney. I don't do estate planning. I don't sell annuities, things like that. However, we do provide this information. It's good. So it's good to know. Mm-hmm. And what I've seen recently, specifically with the reverse mortgage, you know, reverse mortgage, as you guys know, it's a deferred interest loan. So over time, it goes up. In fact, I was at a wine bar last night and talking to this 85-year-old guy, and he's drinking like 8 o'clock and his second scotch. Like, wow, 85 years old, you're doing it pretty good. He goes, yeah. So he goes, by the way, you know, he's asking me about, yeah, so what is the reverse mortgage now? It's like, it's just, why is it called reverse? I said, well, you know, Dennis, you know, on regular mortgage, you pay over 30 years and it goes down and eventually you pay off. The bad part about that, the first 10 years is mostly interest you pay.
Yeah.
And over a 30-year period, you end up paying three times what you started with. So on a $100,000 mortgage for 30 years, you end up paying $300,000 over 30 years. Mm-hmm. And a reverse mortgage is the opposite. You're not paying it down where it goes down, but you don't pay it, so interest is added on top, so the mortgage balance can go up. So yeah, it could triple in 30 years if it kept the reverse mortgage for 30 years. And so I said, so he goes, that's not good, Percy. I said, well, nothing that goes up is good, obviously, you know, unless you have a stock market. But it's not about that. It's about being able to stay at home for many years without having a mortgage payment. But I said, I work with a lot of financial advisors, insurance agents that, you know, I've had situations where one spouse is 65, one spouse is 75 or 70. Yeah. This particular case I had, I recall my insurance contact and said, hey, you know, they're looking for find a way to cover this reverse mortgage balance 10 years from now. Mm-hmm. And he goes, what's the balance going to be 10 years from now? I said, we don't know how much it's going to take, but let's just say $500,000. Can he get a $500,000 life insurance policy at 65 for the wife? He goes, you can. It'll cost money. So he ran some numbers, mm-hmm. and he came back and said, Percy, have you ever heard of a second-to-die life insurance policy? I said, I have. I've never seen it work. I've never been into a case study. He goes, well, I ran it for your clients.
Yeah.
And dad not in the greatest health. Mom's in pretty good health. That premium for that $500,000 second-to-die life insurance policy was half of what their mortgage payment would have been, because we had to pay off their mortgage. So we're going to get rid of that mortgage payment as we're doing the reverse mortgage. But they're used to paying $3,000 a month for the mortgage. They were quite well off. And if someone's paying half, so they can still pay that $1,500 or whatever that was amount.
Yeah.
And it protect them down the way. And so they love that idea. So can you explain a little bit more before we got to end here? What is a second-to-die life insurance policy? And why is it beneficial? And people don't use it, though.
Yeah. So, I mean, a second-to-die life insurance policy can be a very useful tool because it leverages two individuals. You know, so when you're looking at assessing risk, right, it's the life insurance company will look at one individual and they say, okay, this person may or may not die within this specific, you know, age period in time. And then we'll give them X amount of coverage, $500,000, say $500,000, for X amount of dollars, right? For, forget how much you said your guy was.
I can't remember. But, 1,500, 2,000, something like that. I don't remember.
So then on that side of it, it's where, you know, we're insuring one person's life. But when you're including into the equation two individuals, so the life insurance policy only pays out when the last person passes away. So, you know, either one of the individuals could pass away, and then the second one is living, and they may live for another, you know, 3 years. They might live for another 30 years, you know. Mm-hmm. And then the life insurance doesn't actually pay out until the second person passes away. So that is a more favorable outcome, favorable risk assessment for insurance companies when they're looking at placing a policy. So it can be significantly lower in regards to the cost, which allows when you're thinking about planning, it allows you to, if you're wanting to leave your home or leave some money as a legacy amount for your kids or for your family to be able to take care of, like you said, like a reverse mortgage, that's an amazing tool that can be utilized to be able to accomplish that.
Yeah, people don't think about that. And actually, a lot of life insurance agents don't think about that.
Yeah.
And it just brought to my attention, we started doing this about 15 years ago.
Yeah.
And it really works really well. And I don't sell insurance, guys. So if you're interested in it, you can call Dustin, or, you know, we can sit down, we can go over some basic things, because that's what people worry about. Oh, I'm going to lose my house down the road. You don't lose the house down the road, but the balance will be higher.
Yeah. You know? Yeah. And then you can use a second-to-die life insurance policy as something to make sure that it erases that expense at the end
of
it.
Or pay it down.
Or, yeah, pay it down, right?
Yeah.
So that your kids can still have the home, you know.
Well, they're not going to keep the home. Most of them, they think, oh, my kid want to keep the home. Most times they're not. They're not going to keep it.
Yeah.
They're going to sell it. Because like in this situation, Dustin, you're my brother. I love you, but hey, I want my half.
Yeah.
You know, I don't, you want to, but I want to keep the house persistent. Yeah. I want my half. So you can buy me out? No. Then okay, we'll sell it.
Yeah. And I have a house on the Big Island. When my grandpa passed away, we had a property out there and it was, you know, about an acre or so of land in the Conocoffee area as well. And when he passed away, my dad was the was a trustee of it, you know. And then, so my grandpa passed away in January. My dad passed away in February of the same year. And then my auntie was, I guess, the backup, trustee or whatever you
successor
call it.
Successor trustee.
Successor, successor trustee. So she was, she ended up taking it over. My dad didn't have time to move the money or to do anything with it. And then it ended up, a lot of kind of not good stuff went on there. And it ended up in you know, we had to go through court and all of this
probate?
Stuff.
Probate? Wow.
Not probate, but it was, you know.
Family court.
Yeah, like legal issues with, she was trying to contest certain things. She took money out of there without, and it wasn't family in alignment court. With the trust and all of that stuff. long story short, you know, at the end of it all, like, we got some of the money back, but my cousin and I, she got kicked out of the entire thing, but my cousin and I ended up, you know, owning the property. And then, you know, he had an idea of what he wanted to do with the property. I had an idea of what we wanted to do with the property. Both of us are just kind of sitting on this property for like a couple of years, having no idea what we're going to do with the property. Because if I'm going to put money into it, you know, and renovate it, I want it to be like this. And he's like, if he's going to throw money into it and he wants to renovate, it's going to be like that. And we ended up just sitting on it. It got overgrown. And then finally we're like, okay, you know what? We got to do something with this thing. 3 years goes by. I was like, okay, let's just... I'll buy you out or you buy me out. And it was like, okay, we came to an agreement and
sell it
and we sold it.
So. Yeah. It happens quite a bit. Anytime you have more than one person. So anyway, Dustin, what great day, great time, great information. Let our audience know how to reach you. What's the best way to reach you either online or phone or how can they get a hold of you?
Yeah, you can go to my website. It's, www.nexus, N-E-X-U-S, Hawaii, HAWAII.com. You can email me as well at Dustin, D-U-S-T-I-N, at nexushawaii.com. Or you can feel free to reach out to me on my mobile. It's 808-542-6884. Don't call me after 2 a.m. So.
Yeah, and, you know, just say, hey, I heard you on Percy's radio show, or just mention my name. But you can always give me a call as well, 808-234-3117. So, Dustin, thank you so much.
Thank you so much, Percy. I appreciate it.
Yeah, great information, guys. So stick around. Next week, we're going to have more information for you. Don't forget our Realities of Aging workshop, 3 Wednesdays a month. So check out the website or just give me a call or text me, okay? Have a great weekend, everybody. Aloha and live well.
Call Financial Benefits Insurance's local Hawaii agents for your Medicare needs. Navigating Medicare is a difficult task.
There are a lot of variables. You can't make a decision without knowing your medical and financial needs. Plus, working with a local Hawaii representative, you'll know what Hawaii programs are available for you.
It's free to talk with us and use a local Hawaii agent. Financial Benefits Insurance. Medicare is our business. Service sets us apart.
Percy Ihara. Many of you know him as the publisher of Generations Magazine and one of Hawaii's biggest senior advocates. For those of you that don't know, he's been in the mortgage business since 1988 and at the age of 42 got into the reverse mortgage business. He learned early on as a reverse mortgage professional that he needed to understand his clients' needs as they aged. He is now 63 years of age, and if you're like him, he is planning his own life down the road when he will retire and how will his quality of life be. He is planning his finances, and as a professional that is also aging, he is planning for his own long-term care needs and to age in place. As a trained certified senior advisor and as a specialist in long-term care planning, he specializes in assisting seniors and their families to age in place for the rest of their lives. If you would like to begin the conversation, give him a call and let's sit down and start planning. He's Percy Ihara. Call him at 808-234-3117. NMLS 582944.